A recent article in the Philadelphia Inquirer caught my attention. It was entitled, Fighting an Epidemic of Loneliness. It was aimed mostly at the situation caused by empty offices all around the world right now and the loss of workplace culture as we all work from home, or most of us. One of those interviewed, a business school professor who was quoting an earlier study, said that the data clearly shows that many people in workplaces are struggling with loneliness, and that loneliness comes with consequences. I mean, that's data gathered before this virus sent everyone home. A previous Surgeon General of the U.S., Dr. Vivek Murthy, calls it an epidemic of loneliness. He warned of the health impact on people and communities several years ago. Apparently, it's not only sad to be lonely, it's dangerous. Apparently, living with air pollution increases your odds of dying early by 5%. Living with obesity, 20%. And living with loneliness, it increases our odds of dying early by 45%. And we knew that even before we had to self-quarantine. I wonder what data would show us now. Today, I have a very simple and brief word around this topic of loneliness. Because social connection lies at the heart of our human condition. And that connection is a particular gift given to the church to embody. We're given an antidote to loneliness. Today's gospel reading continues from last week, where Jesus begins to tell his disciples that he'll be leaving them. He's offering encouragement for them, but also he's giving instruction. This is how you're to live, he says. We heard last week that the disciples will continue to live as Jesus lived. At least that's the pattern that they're to move into. They're to do the things that he did. In fact, they're told they'll do even greater things. Today, we hear how that will be possible. They will have a helper, the Holy Spirit. I will not leave you as orphans, Jesus tells them. I will come to you. He's telling them clearly they will not be alone, but they will always have his presence with them through the Spirit. Their community, their unity, their love, their ability to do his works and also to keep his commandments, these are all wrapped up in this promise that they will not be left alone. You know, that's an amazing promise. I mean, imagine if someone came to you that you knew and someone you loved and was special to you and they said, I'm leaving. Or I'm dying, but you'll always have me here. I think we would say, well, sure, you'll live on through others, you know, the things that you taught me or the things I learned or through the good memories we have or through the things that you did. But that's not what Jesus is promising them. He's not offering a hopeful metaphor. He's saying, I will truly be with you. You will not be separated from my presence. I will come to you and remain with you. It will just be in a different way. And what we see in this passage, this short passage from John 14, is the presence of the Trinity. The Spirit will come, and the disciples will see that Jesus is in the Father, and they will know the love of the Father as well. It lays out for us this beautiful truth. It's a Trinitarian blessing, if you will, for how life goes forward, and how the church carries on in the reality of the resurrection. As Jesus promises he'll come to them, he's saying that in that they will know the presence of the Holy Trinity. Fred Craddock has commented that this doesn't mean three different visitations. He says this experientially, God is with us, Christ with us, or the Spirit with us are for the church one promise. Not three promises. There are one promise of power, guidance, and comfort without which the church cannot live faithfully. In the Anglican Church of Kenya, they begin the Eucharist with this call and response. Is the Father with us? He is. Is Christ among us? He is. Is the Spirit here? He is. This is our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are his people. We are redeemed. If God is present, then we are not alone. If the Lord is here, we have his comfort, If the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit truly are in our lives, then we can walk in the love of God, in the fellowship of His community, and carry His love to the world. That's a starting point for us today, the affirmation that we are not alone. So how did we get so lonely? How do so many people find themselves in places of deep disconnection? And what do we do about it? Okay, that's more than we can solve in just a few minutes of time today, but they're important questions. And I wanted to lay them out in front of us, especially in this time of isolation and fear, and encourage us to continue to walk with them a little bit and say, what can we learn about the Lord's presence with us now? Loneliness and being alone are not the same thing. It's possible to be alone, to be solitary, and not experience loneliness. It's also possible to be around people all the time, even your own family, and feel very lonely. Because loneliness is about disconnection at the deepest level, about not feeling seen, not feeling understood. It's feeling that there are others who don't have the same experience as you. Solitude is actually important to development. It's a good thing. It's important to spiritual contemplation and to health. Solitude can be very healing and a refreshing place. We all need that to some degree. But loneliness is about disconnection, primarily, even disconnection from one's own self. And according to research from Brené Brown, it's accompanied by shame. You know, we are wired for connection. We're wired for the social interplay that affirms and encourages. We're wired for spiritual connection at the core of our being. And those who are healthy yet alone, they have many points of connection that they continue to cultivate. And they have a good sense of who they are. But the fear that we live in, the fear all around us right now, the physical isolation, the concern over what is coming next, along with the divisions that were already at work in our society, they are growing this epidemic of loneliness in our time. And loneliness is not a social good unless you want to consider the huge amounts of art, music, and literature that it has born. That's probably the only good from it, right? When we're disconnected, spiritually especially, when we're fractured in the soul, we're open to all kinds of lonely. As the people of God, we are not alone. And we've been given the ministry of wholeness and healing that leads to deep connection, if we will use it. Sometimes Christians are told, you have Jesus, you don't need to feel lonely, or you shouldn't feel lonely. That's especially shame-inducing for the person struggling with loneliness, even in their faith. Remember in the creation story, Adam enjoyed full fellowship with God, yet the Lord said, it's not good for man to be alone. Christians experience loneliness because we are also people in need of deep connection. We're broken. We need healing. We need restoration. We need solidarity at the deepest levels of our being. And that can be hard to find with others when the church is not a true community, or when vulnerability is lacking, or when people are rejected because they're different, or they may have some different ideas about some things. In our life, it seems that we've lined up along party lines for so long that we think that's what real belonging is. But I think that kind of community can only go so far. When we risk ourselves with others, and when we press into difference and are vulnerable in the way that Jesus was vulnerable, then we'll start to know real connection and belonging and fulfillment. That's part of keeping the commandments of Jesus, I think. That's part of living out His life, of being His hands and feet in the world. Maybe it's the hardest part. But it's also part of the answer to loneliness when people are seen and embraced and cared for and known. And this is a work of the Spirit, not just strategy. Are there some steps that we can take now? Because this is really a hard time to say, oh, we need to enter into this, but the need is so great. in terms of community, in terms of connection, in terms of setting aside loneliness, I want to encourage us to do all we can to stay connected. Resist the urge to pull away, because that becomes kind of a cycle. You begin to pull away, and then you feel like people are away, and you start interpreting their responses in light of that, and it's just a cycle. Pray for wisdom. Pray for direction in this. Participate in the social groups that we have as a church. Join a Zoom call, even if you don't like Zoom. I'm talking to myself right there. Talk with a neighbor in the next yard or across the street. Reach out to someone you haven't heard from in a while. Ask the Lord to direct you to someone that may be lonely, just as you may be lonely. Pick up the phone. Maybe in this time we need a little more of that and less texting. Lately, around here, I've had the chance to see a few more people just to connect from a distance, and that's been really good. We had our worship night the other night, and there were more people around. We were all kind of trying to distance and so on, but it's just there's something about seeing people. There's something about being in kind of physical proximity, this part of how we're made. Yesterday, there was a funeral here, and we had just a few people, just the family, and yet that was good for them, and it was good for us to be able to be in that place. Who knows? Maybe we'll find some ways in an ordered way for us to begin to do that a little more, especially as the weather improves. We'll be wise and we'll be appropriate. But we need that. We're wired for connection, and to step out of loneliness requires some effort. For all of us, whether we're feeling lonely or whether we're those that can reach out to those that are in a place of loneliness. It requires risk and sensitivity and vulnerability. It also requires the eyes to see, which I think are gifts given by the Holy Spirit for the work of healing the separations in our world. I will not leave you alone, Jesus says. That's a promise. That's a promise to us. That's a promise for the one who holds our souls in life, as the psalm says. I think also that we're called to say that. I will not leave you alone, and I will hold your soul. We're required to say that to each other and to one another. I had this modeled for me when I was a child by my grandparents, John and Lucy. And for over 25 years, my grandfather taught the ladies' Bible class at Pekah Bible Church. Now, that was a church that only men could teach in, so that was a kind of a not an unusual thing to have happen, but they pastored that group, if you will. They're lay people, but they shepherded those women, mostly widows, together, my grandfather and my grandmother. And they had their class every Sunday morning, which my grandfather taught from the scriptures. But the real life that went on was during the week, as they went to the homes of these widows, and they took groceries, and they went and sat with them. And they would hear their stories and just say, how is it going? And what do you need? And what's going on in your life? And they also would pick up, they pick up these women and bring them to church. Most of them lived alone. But I would dare say because of this work of my grandparents, they were not lonely. They had the connection. They had the spiritual connection. And they had just practical things too. I can remember being taken along on a number of those visits when I was very young. And, when you learn things really young, it gives you some time to work on them. And sitting with old people when you're a kid is something you have to learn to work at. But I did, and it was a beautiful thing to watch my grandparents together care for and just look out for these widows, these ones who could have been very, very lonely. If you would have said to my grandmother, "That's a really great ministry you have," she would have been offended at that. Because she would have said, "That's not a ministry, that's my life. That's what we do. That's what we're called to do as the church." And that's been an example to me my whole life, and I want to encourage us in this season especially in that. If you're lonely, it's hard, but reach out. We have a Zoom call right after the service today. Be part of that. We have a small group that's beginning that's just on Zoom. You know, you might live in another part of the country or the world. Take the risk to do that. If maybe you're not feeling that lonely, you got people around and so on, but you may have opportunity to reach out to those near you or just in your circle of influence or that you know who you think that person may be experiencing loneliness right now. When Jesus tells the disciples, "I will not leave you alone," I think what he's saying to us is, I'm with you, and you're with each other. So church, let's live into this by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the life of the Trinity, in and through us. Amen.